This week, Sam Altman has been triggered more than one time. And so today we're going to talk about the different things he's kind of said that have, you know, he's been a little upset at some of his questioning. They recently converted to a for-profit company, and I think people are giving him a little bit more scrutiny. The pressure's on. And so he's said a few things that have been a little bit triggering, or he's been triggered a little bit. So today we're going to talk about, you know, some of this new data, new information coming out of OpenAI, and you know, Sam Altman's response to these things. Jaden, what have you heard so far about this new transition to a for-profit company for Sam Altman?
Okay. Well, I have to give you the whole Twitter drama between him and Elon Musk that happened this week that kind of had a lot of people talking about this. Then we'll actually break down what's happening with the nonprofit, some of the shifts, how OpenAI is spinning it, what it is. I don't know. It's definitely interesting. They've been working on it for a long time. And actually, there are some like positive for OpenAI, which if you're a user of OpenAI, it's going to be better user experience for you. There are some positives that I'll also break down. So the first thing I want to cover, though, is the beef over on Twitter. Elon Musk famously criticizes Sam Altman all the time. And so Sam Altman took it this week to criticize Elon Musk back about the Roadster, the Tesla Roadster. Elon Musk was talking about it on Joe Rogan, saying it was going to be amazing. But for those that remember, the Roadster was announced 7 years ago. So Sam Altman posted a picture which said a tale in three acts. The first screenshot was from his Gmail from 2018, and it said, "Your Roadster reservation is complete." Apparently, Sam Altman put down $45,000 to reserve a Roadster. That's how much it costs. And this was 7 freaking years ago. So apparently, he just sent an email to Tesla and said, "Hi, I'd like to cancel my reservation. Could you please refund my $50,000? And then he got the email response back, which just said, "Address cannot be found. Reservations at Tesla.com. So he got, I don't know, you know, he's kind of heated. He said a tale in three acts. Elon Musk came on and responded and said, "You stole a nonprofit." So that was just his response to taking his 50 grand for 7 years. But then he did follow up and say, "You forgot to mention Act 4, where the issue was fixed and you received a refund within 24 hours, but that's in your nature." So the shots have been fired. I have to give you my favorite meme from this whole thing. If you've seen the Facebook movie, which is Social Network, where he's like, drop, it's cleaner. They said, "Drop non, just profit, it's cleaner." I just thought that was the greatest meme ever. There's one other one where it's someone says, "Me, what do you guys do for work?" "Them, we run a nonprofit." And it's just like these people sitting in front of this giant mansion. Okay, this is funny. But what did Sam Altman say in response to the nonprofit allegations? He responded to Elon Musk and said, "I helped turn the thing you left for dead into what should be the largest nonprofit ever. You know as well as anyone, a structure like what OpenAI has now is required to make that happen." He then said, "You also wanted Tesla to take over OpenAI, no nonprofit at all. You said we had a 0% of success. Now you have a great AI company, and so do we. Can't we all just move on?" So sounds like Sam Altman wants everyone to just move on.
Wow. That's
okay.
Crazy.
We get into his latest. Oh no, go for it.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah. So they, you know, now that they're a for-profit, people are kind of, you know, really looking at the numbers. And the most recent report is that the OpenAI is bringing in around $13 billion in revenue per year, which is, that's a lot of cash. But over the next decade, they have more than $1 trillion in spending commitments for computing infrastructure. So, you know, people are basically saying here, okay, that's, you know, great, you're making this much money, but if you're going to be spending $1 trillion on all the infrastructure, you know, building data centers, things like that, you know, is that feasible financially? And basically Sam Altman's response to this was just that, well, fine, sell your shares. I'm sure there'd be someone who'd be happy to buy them. So he's a little bit salty about some of this scrutiny.
Yeah, this is his direct quote. He said, "First of all, we're doing well more revenue than that. Second of all, Brad, if you want to sell your shares, I'll find you a buyer." And then he said, "I just enough. I think there's a lot of people who would love to buy OpenAI shares. Yeah, so he's very triggered by the but like it is a good point when you start talking about the AI bubble, and it seems like he gets a little flustered because there probably is a little bit of truth to this, which is that they're planning on selling an insane amount of money. Sam Altman doesn't really comment on like how he's planning to make all the money. He's just like, listen, we're doing great and people will buy your shares if you don't like it. It's like, okay, but like we do need a plan like on how to make the money back. So it is interesting. There's two sides of that coin for sure. Sam Altman was triggered. Okay, let's talk about the conversion to a for-profit company. This is the background of a lot of drama and Sam Altman getting triggered. There was another interesting article or I guess like piece of news that came out recently, which is that OpenAI and Amazon just made a $38 billion cloud computing deal. And what's interesting is this is only possible, really, because they converted to a for-profit. And the reason for that is because in the way that the nonprofit was structured, when Microsoft came in right after ChatGPT launched and gave OpenAI $10 billion, they bought like half, they got like half the company from OpenAI with that move. And part of that deal was that any new cloud computing deal that OpenAI wanted to sign, Microsoft had to sign off on it because Microsoft was like their de facto cloud compute partner with Microsoft Azure. They wanted to kind of keep them all in house, but they didn't have enough compute for OpenAI. They could charge, they could pick what they charged OpenAI. So like when they gave him $10 billion, it was great. But then when OpenAI is going and raising like $100 billion from other people, they're like, okay, well, we don't want to just get stuck with Microsoft Azure all the time. And you guys don't even have enough compute capacity for us. So as they did this restructuring, one thing that like I'll give them kudos to is that they now are able to do this $38 billion cloud computing deal with AWS or Amazon, and they don't have to get Microsoft to sign off on it because AWS is one of Microsoft's big competitors, and evidently they didn't want to sign off on that. So it seems like there's this kind of, there are some like good reasons. Now, is it good that they switched from a nonprofit to for-profit? Is there drama and controversy there? Yeah, 100%. I think so. But it is evidently making it so they're capable of doing more in their company. So, I mean, I'll give them that point.
Yeah, that's interesting. There's another article. Basically, it's Sam Altman and Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella talking about how they don't really know how much compute or how much power they're going to need for AI moving forward. So because, you know, supply and demand is cyclical and they don't really know what the demands are going to be, they don't really know how much compute they're going to need moving forward. So they don't want to overspend, but then also they don't want to have, you know, a bunch of, you know, not enough either power or chips to power, you know, the AI moving forward. So it is a tough balance, and I really don't know. Jane, what's your opinion with all this infrastructure stuff? That's kind of the question mark right now. Do you think there's going to be a continuing growing demand for AI, or is it going to plateau?
Personally, I can see a lot of reasons why it would grow. If you look at like where a lot of this big money is going, they're betting on growth in like demand for infrastructure. The tricky thing about infrastructure is that it just takes so long to build out. Even like OpenAI making a deal with AWS, right? Like $38 billion that they're going to spend. They're not going to be fully, their capacity isn't going to be fully online for training, I think, till the end of next year. So even though AWS has all of the capacity, just to get OpenAI onboarded, set up, and running on their GPUs and their systems and stuff is going to take like a full year, more than a full year, right? So I just think it's like, that's just to get on it. But then to like build the data center, to acquire the chips, to get everything put together, like it's just insane, which is also why it was really crazy that Elon Musk's Grok or like XAI was able to get their super cluster built in like, I think like 3 to 6 months or something insane in Memphis, the one that they built. So like that was definitely like a miracle. But I think that these things take a long time. So I guess your question was like, do I think that the compute is going to keep growing? Yes. And I'll tell you why. I think that as we're starting to come on, there's, you know, been a bunch of announcements this week about like humanoid robots. As humanoid robots are starting to come online, those are going to need an insane amount of compute for training. So right now we're just worried about training for like the text generator. And it's like, wow, ChatGPT is amazing. It can write articles for me. we're going to get to a point where like our humanoid robots need to be spatially aware of everything. And there's just an insane amount of compute that goes into it looking around and understanding the whole world around it. We're going to train these robots to be electricians, to be plumbers, to go down into the sewer system of New York and go find a, you know, a plugged thing and like go fix it. And it's like a really dangerous job for a normal person to do. And like these humanoid robots will be able to do all these really cool things and work in warehouses with heavy stuff. So there's these really critical, really dangerous jobs. Humanoid robots, I think, are going to be a no-brainer. But also humanoid robots will be, I believe, like a car where everyone's going to spend 20 grand and just have one in your house. And it cooks and cleans and can do a lot of stuff for you around the house. So is the future of iRobot coming? In my opinion, yes. And if it does, we're going to need an insane amount of data centers. And so, yeah, that's why I think they're being so aggressively on it.
That's a good point. Yeah, I did see, I think, I forget what it's called, but they, in the past couple of weeks, released a house robot that'll do your like laundry and cleaning for you. And it was 20 grand, which to me, that sounded like actually a pretty good value. Like if you thought about never having to like do laundry again or like cleaning, you know, stuff like that, that to me seems like over time it'd pay off. But the caveat was, I think it was like, there was a subscription as well. So it was like $500 a month for a subscription to the robot as well, once you pay 20 grand for it. So that's where it kind of gets a little.
Was it not either?
Really?
Or?
Oh, okay.
I thought it was $500 a month or you pay 20 grand for it.
Oh, okay.
I could be wrong. We'll look into it. We can verify it.
Either way, yeah, like you said, the compute is a big issue as far as that stuff goes.
The thing that's true, though, is there's so much for these AI robots to learn about the world around them, just like there's so much for us to learn about what's happening in AI. And one of the best places for us to do that, I believe, is on Jamie and I's AI Hustle School community. Every week, we put out a video where we're breaking down how to use AI to grow and scale your business. This week, I released a really interesting video, how I'm using AI to create music. And I also share my latest stats from a music project I did, kind of a project, honestly, half for this AI Hustle School community. It's an area that I've worked a lot on in the past where I'd put music on Spotify and make money from it. So I made a handful of albums using AI. I posted them. And in the video this week on School Community, I'm showing you how to use the AI music tools and also what my analytics look like and how much money I made from my first month of music and kind of the trend and trajectory. So if any of that's interesting to you, and also like over 60 videos on how to grow and scale your business with different AI tools and what Jamie and I are personally working on, go check out the AI Hustle School Community. It is linked in the description. All right. Thanks so much, everyone, for tuning in. We will catch you all in the next episode.